Blog Talk Radio.
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to your feet right now! Oh! For the kingdom's up for violence, but the violent, take it! Take it! By force!
I want that.
And what about your love you took?
I want that.
And what about your love you took?
I want that.
Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford. This is our noonday Bible study, and we bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, where God has opened a door that no man can shut, where God is reestablishing the priesthood that are walking in holiness, that are walking in private purity, that are walking in personal integrity. Welcome to the ministry where God is restoring apostolic and prophetic authority based on his word in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th and the 12th verse, where God is equipping, empowering, encouraging, and edifying the body of Christ. Welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, where God's instructions to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is being executed through evangelism, missions, discipleship, mentoring, teaching, and training. Welcome to the ministry where the biblical and spiritual authority of God's holy word through the power and the anointing of God is being preached to the meek. It is healing the brokenhearted. It is opening the prison doors. It is setting the captives free. And it is transforming lives. Welcome to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, where God has raised up an army that are strategically praying and effectively praising God, exposing the works of the enemy, pulling down strongholds, destroying the works of the enemy, and God is laughing at his enemies. Welcome to the ministry where God sits as the refiner, removing the dross, purifying the silver, the sons of Levi, purging them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness, according to his word in Matthew's the 3rd chapter verse. So welcome to the ministry where God is being exalted, high and lifted up, where God is being exalted above the heavens. Hallelujah. We give God the glory and we give God the praise. And I just want to thank you for joining me today. And we're going to go straight into our message. And the message is entitled, Double for My Trouble. I want it all back. And I don't know about you, but I want back everything that the enemy has stolen from me. Now, I want to touch base and give credit to the author, the composer of the opening song, which is entitled, I Want It Back. Now, eloquently speaking, Ty Tribbett wrote the song, and the lyrics that the ladies were singing, the following words I'm going to share with you because it's lined up with this message today. So Ty Tribbett wrote the song, I Want It All Back. But as I share the word with you and we talk about restoration and we talk about getting double for our trouble, we're going to read in God's word what it really means to get back everything that the enemy has stolen from us from a biblical perspective. So the words of the song, it says, you may have laughed because I almost fell down. Maybe you think I give up easy, but it's not over. I got more in me. You thought I stopped, you thought I sat down, but I'm standing. You made me mad now. You got some things that I think you owe me. I've come to get back everything that you stole. Then the next stanza, it says, you hit me hard. I should be knocked out. Things I've been through, don't even want to talk about. You crossed the line this time. You violated me. I want revenge. I want everything back from A to Z. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking it back by force. So that's the words of the song that says, I want it back. And today's message is entitled, Double for My Trouble. I want it all back. So if you want it all back, whatever was stolen from you, whatever the enemy did to you, however hard the enemy hit you and knocked you down, today's message is going to encourage you, it's going to incite you, it's going to convict your heart to make a decision to get up from where you are and to stand up, to rise up, to open up your mouth and praise God and give God the glory and give him the praise, because God said, in everything give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. So even with the hit from the enemy, even with being knocked down, guess what? God is using it all for his glory. So if you are following along with me today, I want you to go to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and we're going to begin reading at the first verse. I am going to start out reading from the Message version for Isaiah, the 61st chapter, beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to read the first 7 verses. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all captives, pardon all prisoners. God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction of our enemies, and to comfort all who mourn, to care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes, messages of joy instead of news of doom, a praising heart instead of a languid spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness, planted by God to display his glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind and make it new. You'll hire outsiders to herd your flocks and foreigners to work your... You'll have the title priest of God, honored, as ministers of our God. You'll feast on the bounty of nations. You'll bask in their glory. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled. And your joy go on. I just read Isaiah, the 61st chapter, and I read the first and the second, first through 7 verses. And I want to focus on verse 2 for a moment, because in this hour, God is releasing a spirit of restoration, and God is releasing an anointing to recover all. In Isaiah, the 61st chapter, in the second verse, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version this time, it says, God sent me to announce the year of his grace. This is in the Amplified Version. And God sent me to announce the year of his grace, a celebration of God's destruction from our enemies and to comfort all who mourn. So now I'm going to read it in the King James Version. It says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. If we go back to the beginning of Isaiah 61st chapter, beginning at the first verse, and I'm going to go to the King James Version. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim, verse 2, to proclaim, verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, all that mourn. Well, this message is strategically prepared and designed for those that have been mourning. The word of God says in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, when we proclaim something, we announce or make a public announcement. We declare that something is about to happen. We declare what God has instructed us to do. And it is almost like sounding the trumpet. It is like sounding the alarm. Now, I don't have a physical shofar, so I can't blow my shofar that's actually made out of a ram's horn, but God has placed a shofar in my belly. Now, as I preach and teach God's word, God is using me to sound the alarm, to blow the trumpet as I speak and teach and preach what he tell me to preach to his people. So going back to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, in the second verse, it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So my question is, are you mourning this afternoon? Are you mourning today? Did you mourn yesterday? Did you mourn last week? Or did you mourn last year? Have you mourned the last couple of years? And this is a very important question, because many people are mourning for many different reasons. And some people don't know how to be comforted. And God just said in his word, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that means that this is the year of God's favor. This is the year of God's grace being heavily upon our lives. This is the day of vengeance of our God. Now, many of you, you are going to learn this year that God is a God of recompense. God is a God of vengeance. God is a God of retribution. And many people that made you mourn, many people that made you laugh, many people that said, aha, aha, they thought God didn't see. But let me tell you something. God saw everything that they did to you. God saw everything that they said to you. And God will have the last laugh, because this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and this is the year of vengeance of our God. Now, God is God all by himself. He don't need our help. He don't need our help. He does not need our help. And God wants you to know him as Jehovah Gabor. Now, Jehovah Gabor, it simply means that God is the God of battles. Now, if you read Psalm 76 and Psalms 35, you will get to know God as the God of battles. Just like the Israelites learned that God was the God of battles in the book of Exodus, when they were standing before the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army was behind them, they had nowhere else to go. And so Moses encouraged the people as he lifted up his rod. And when he encouraged the people, he said, stand still. He said, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever, and the Lord will fight for you, and you will hold your peace. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. And we all know the song that Yolanda Adams sang, this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Well, she wasn't just singing to be singing. That song is based on the word of God, as many songs are. And a lot of times we could sing a song and we need to understand the words of the song. And we need to understand what we are asking God to do when we sing these songs. Because if you love that song, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, you are telling God that you recognize that he is Jehovah Gabor. You are letting God know that you trust him as Jehovah Gabor. And you are letting God know that you trust him to break in pieces the oppressor. That is recorded in Psalm 72. And you are letting God know that you trust him to break the arrow, to break the bow, to break the shield, and to break the battle. That is recorded in Psalm 76, where God shows himself mighty and faithful as Jehovah Gabor, the God of battles. Now, I'm talking to those that have been mourning, and I'm talking to those that are mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-G. Not good morning, like we woke up in the morning. And if you woke up this morning, that's enough reason to praise God and to give him the glory, because in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. And it's a great thing to give thanks to the Lord for waking up, for him, allowing him to wake you up in the morning, because somebody didn't wake up. And that means somebody died overnight. Somebody died in their sleep, which this is going to allow me to transition into the definition of what it means to mourn. Time. People will lose a loved one. And when someone loses a loved one, they feel deep sorrow and they feel deep regret for the passing or the death of their loved one. We mourn the death of our mothers. We mourn the death of our fathers, and parents mourn the death of their children. Children mourn the death of their fathers. Now, a lot of times when there is death in the family, there is a mourning period. And during that mourning period, back in the old days, when I was a little girl growing up, when someone had death in their family, they would get a bouquet of flowers, and those flowers would be placed on the outside of the door. And that was a sign that the family was mourning because they suffered a loss in their family. And we don't see that anymore today. A lot of times when a loved one in the church, particularly a spiritual leader, a pastor or the pastor's wife, someone in authority in the church passes, they would drape the pulpit with black covering, black cloths. Cover, if they had their pictures up there, they would put drape it with a black cloth, and that also represented their season of mourning. Now, there's another definition for mourning, and it still deals with regret and with sadness or sorrow, showing great sorrow for the loss of something or the disappearance of something. And right here, I want to share the different reasons that people mourn and they that are associated with the following examples below. And my message is, some people are mourning the death of loved ones. And as stated, it could be a father, it could be an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, it could be a son, it could be a daughter, it could be a grandparent. But sometimes people mourn the death of their pets. A lot of times people, when their pets die, their pets are a part of their family. It's almost like family to them. And they really cry out. They are for the loss of their pet. Some people are mourning the death of their spouses that left the marriage. Whether it was the husband that left the wife or whether it was the wife that left the husband. And whenever this happens, it causes division and separation in the home. And many times it causes the other members of the family to enter into a season of mourning because their whole family has been disrupted, and the spirit of division, the spirit of separation has caused them to experience deep sorrow. So there are people that are mourning the loss of love in their marriage, and it's for various reasons. I don't know all of those reasons, but when the love is gone in the marriage, times it's accompanied by arguing and fighting and disagreements, misunderstandings that contribute to the division and the separation. Now, it's real important to understand that when this happens, the children also begin to mourn because the loss of a happy home where their parents used to walk in love and unity was in the home. And the children were whole. Now the children are broken, and silently they cry, mourning the loss of a happy home with their parents. Now we have another category of mourning where we have a large number of grandparents that are mourning the loss of their adult children that have not died a physical death, abandoned the home, the children, their parental responsibilities to raise their children because of a drug addiction. And we have many grandparents that are raising their children's children, which means they are raising their grandchildren because their adult children are addicted to alcohol and can no longer function and are no longer capable or able to take care of their own children. So these grandparents are doing the best that they can to comfort their children, their grandchildren, that are mourning the loss of their parents and typically are dealing with embarrassment, humiliation, shame, and rejection, abandonment. And all of this is associated with mourning. And I can hear somebody saying, well, Stacey, what does all of this have to do with the title of this message, Double for My Trouble? I want it all back. Well, Have you ever experienced brokenness in your home, brokenness in your family? Have you ever suffered the loss of a loved one that didn't die but simply walked away because of circumstances, because of hurt, because of pain? Let me tell you something. When people turn to drugs, when people turn to alcohol, when people fall out of love, there's something going on underneath the surface. Somewhere, something happened. Whatever happened, I'm telling you, just as sure as my name is Stacy, that something happened. And in order to help you understand what happened, I'm going to ask you to go with me to John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse. And John, the 10th chapter, in the 10th verse, it says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." So, the thief kill and to destroy. And if the enemy wants to destroy a family, what better way to do it than to cause division with mom and dad? What better way to do it than to cause dad to leave mom, or to cause mom to leave dad, or to cause the children to act up, to misbehave, to be rebellious, to mess up and act out in school? And they're not acting out just to be acting out. They're broken. They're hurt. They're dealing with issues that they don't know how to say, "Hey, I'm hurting. I need some help." Because 9 times out of 10, if the love is no longer in the home where these children grew up seeing mom and dad talk together in love and raise them and discipline them in love, now they see hatred. Now they hear loud voices and loud talking and screaming and yelling and dad walking away and mom going in the room crying. So, double for my trouble. I want it all back. There are some children that have been crying, that have been praying, that have been calling out to God, "God, heal my mother, heal my father, God. Let them forgive each other so that they can love each other again, so that we can be whole again." So there are many reasons that people mourn, and the culprit here with causing people to mourn, now, and I'm not talking about when it is a natural process of dying, where we lose loved ones in our families, because we all are born to live a wonderful life, and the scripture tells us that Jesus wants us to have life and life more abundantly. But we all know that one day we are called death. And for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, when we die, we are going to live eternally in heaven with God. And for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and personal Savior, they are going to live eternally in hell with Satan, where they will burn, forever burn, and there will be gnashing of teeth. And they will desire a drink of water. They will desire some comfort. And they will not be comforted, because there is no comfort for those that are mourning that have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. So are you mourning today? Now, as I continue to talk about mourning, there are some people that have lost their job. There are some people that have lost their homes. There are some people that have lost their vehicles in accidents. Whatever the case may be, they suffered a major loss, and it caused them to mourn. Mourning is to feel or to show deep sorrow. Now, some people cheat. They're not honest in relationships, and sometimes that causes them to lose somebody that was real important to them in their life. And because they told lies and was not honest, they lost that person. best friends lose friends because of betrayal and deception, because of falsehood. There are many reasons that people mourn. So some people lose their confidence. Some people lose their self-esteem. Some people lose their joy, their peace, their happiness. Some people lose hope. Some people feel hopeless today. Some people lose their love. Some people have lost a lot of these things that I just shared because of childhood and adult traumas. Some people have endured sexual abuse, physical abuse. They have received violations that have stolen their voice, that stole their power, that stole their authority. Many people have lost their confidence because their parents gave them up for adoption, are mourning because they have been abandoned, they have been rejected, they are experienced divorce, or either their husband did divorce them or their wife did divorce them, and some spouses are mourning the loss of their loved one that is still alive, but we have men that are leaving women for another man. We have women that are leaving their husbands for another woman, so that's a whole nother level of mourning. Mourning is to show deep sorrow or regret. Have you ever done something that you regretted? Has anything ever happened to you that you regretted? Has anything ever happened to you? Have you ever experienced a deep sorrow? Has anything ever been taken or stolen from you that caused you to mourn? Now, some people mourn when there are divisions or a split in the church. When half the church is for the pastor, half the church is not for the pastor, and we have people on both sides that are standing in the gap for the pastor or the interim pastor or somebody raising up trying to be the pastor. The enemy uses people in so many different ways and so many different levels, but there is a spirit of dissension that is operating in churches, and a lot of times the open door was through the spirit of Jezebel. Now, Jezebel is the forerunner for the spirit of Leviathan. So wherever you have the spirit of division and separation in the church, yes, Jezebel is present, but the spirit of Leviathan is present. So if you recognize haughty leadership, if you recognize the spirit of pride and haughtiness, I guarantee you the spirit of Leviathan is there. Now, because Jezebel is a false, Jezebel is a spirit that operates in a woman as well as a man. And many people are deceived because they think Jezebel's spirit is just this woman walking around in Korea. And that is so not true. And that's why so many people are getting duped and hoodwinked today, because you're busy looking at this woman when you don't see this man, especially a man, a pastor that's operating in the spirit of Jezebel up in the pulpit. We need to open our eyes. And God, I pray that you will use this message to remove the scales from the people's eyes so that they may see the truth. But when it comes to a split in the church, what is the source of that split? What happened during that split? We got one half of the church for this pastor and one half the church is for the other person that wants to be in charge of the church. But what did God say? In Romans, the 16th chapter, it says to mark those that cause division. Where are the intercessors at? And I'm not saying that we catch everything, but the moment the trouble starts, this is a good time to go into prayer. Even if there is a division, even if there is a difference of opinion, we are to come together on one accord and try and resolve this from a biblical perspective, not to operate in a spirit of anger, jealousy, envy, because those are all the characteristics of the spirit of Jezebel. You know, people are mourning today in the church because of territorial spirit, because of the spirit of elitism, because of the spirit of harlotry, because of the spirit of whoredoms, because of the spirit of perversion. it causes division in the church, and it causes churches to split. So are you mourning today because your church has been split? Are you mourning today because you see or you recognize that something is wrong, but you can't quite pinpoint it, but you want the holiness of God to return to your church? So double for your trouble, I want it all back. Listen, I don't just want things that were stolen from me. I want everything that was stolen from the house of God. I'm not talking about these buildings where these false prophets and these false teachers are hoodwinking God's people. I'm talking about holiness and consecration. I'm talking about going back to the basics. Romans 12 and 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. We don't have holiness in the church anymore. We got foolishness. There's an impure spirit operating in the church that is deceiving and pimping God's people. I'm taking back everything that was stolen from the body of Christ. And guess what? I can't do it. Now, the word of God says that we are many members but one body. Now, I know I was talking about division and how it splits a church, but there is division in the body of Christ where we can't come together on one accord because of racism, because of prejudice. We got white churches, Spanish churches, Chinese churches, Spanish churches, black churches. When are we going to come together as one people and start fellowshipping together, start praying together, start building up the kingdom of God together? When are we going to stop operating in a spirit of hatred, of malice? I'm mourning today because of the brokenness, because of the condition of the body of Christ. And you are listening to the heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, and this message is being brought to you today by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the God. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, we can look at this from an external point of view, and we can also look at this scripture from an internal point of view. As we look at it from an external point of view, there are many people that are watching the members of the body of Christ and how we operate. And some of the things that they see are just not nice. Some of the things that they see are nice. And it compels them to learn more about Jesus, to learn more about God. But you know what causes me to mourn, and many of God's intercessors, many of God's spiritual leaders, and even God himself, is when the believers misrepresent God and the external see it. And they say, oh, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a part of that. Look how they act. They can't even get along. Look at how they talk about each other. Look at how they gossip. Look at how they fight. Look at the division. This one, talk about that one, talk about this one. Christ, it's time for us to throw off our mourning clothes. It is time for us to stop praying like a widow and to start praying like a bride, like the bride of Christ. Jesus is coming back soon. And he's looking for a church without a spot, without a wrinkle. And 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, in the 14th verse, it is a scripture that is for the body of Christ. It is a scripture that allows those whose hearts, it is a scripture for those that are mourning, those that are full of repentance. See, I gave the examples of what to mourn. And when I got to the split in the church, the Holy Spirit moved in a different direction. And just like we have splits in the church, we have splits in the home, we have splits on the job, and people are mourning for several reasons. And before I go back to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse, I want to elaborate on the dangers of refusing to be comforted. Now, there is a promise in God's word, even as we started this message, and this is going to be part one, and I'm going to have to do part two on another day. But we started out in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. And as I read those scriptures, praying God's word, God's promises to us. And in Isaiah 61 and verse 2, it says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So God wants to comfort you. So I'm going to read verse 3. It says, to Isaiah, the 61st chapter and verse 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So right here, I want to make it perfectly clear. If you are mourning, God cares about you. And God is going to be glorified. God is going to show up in your situation, and God is going to make sense of your hurt. God is going to make sense of your pain. God is going to make everything clear because he is working it out for your good. He knows everything that we are going through. And sometimes we say that everything is okay and it's not okay. And we try and handle our issues, our problems, our hurt, our pain, our disappointment, our shame, the humiliation, the abandonment, whatever it is that caused you to mourn, God cares about you. And God wants you to cast your cares upon him. So I want to share Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 20th verse with you, because it is so prevalent to this message. And a lot of times when we are mourning, sometimes we refuse to be comforted. And when we refuse to be comforted, we entertain a spirit of mourning, but it's excessive mourning. We refuse to be comforted. No matter what happens, we're just broken, we're sad, we're depressed, we're broken, we feel with despair. There's a spirit of hopelessness. It's like we're sad all of the time. We don't think positive things, we don't speak, and we don't do positive things because we're bound by the spirit of heaviness. But before I go back to God's promise in Isaiah, the 61st chapter, I'm going to read Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 20th verse that says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. In the next verse, it says, now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. and spake kindly. And this is a part of Joseph's story. But I'm showing you scriptures where God is known as the God of comfort. And he says again, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. So is someone thinking evil against you? Is someone devising wicked schemes against you? Is someone a part of a conspiracy against you? Is someone conspiring against you? Is someone contending with you? Is someone fighting with you? The word of God says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. So all of those things that they have done to you and all of those things that they are doing to you, guess what? Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice, 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 because God meant it unto good and God is going to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, what does that mean? It means that God is going to use your story, your anointed story, for his glory. It means that if God brought you to it, God is going to bring you through it. It means trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your path. It also means that you will not be put to shame for putting your trust in God. So go through whatever it is that the enemy is doing to you, or what the enemy tried to do to you, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because let me tell you something. Remember, I said Jehovah Gabor. God is the God of battles, and God is fighting this battle for you. In Genesis 50 and verse 21, God said, now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you. That means everything you need, God will nourish you. He's not only going to nourish you, but he's going to nourish your little ones. And God is going to comfort you, and God is going to speak kindly to you and your children. So I got to get up right now, and I got to get up, and I gotta walk this floor, because God will comfort you. Matthew's the 5th chapter, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. God wants to comfort you today. Double for my trouble. I want it all back. I want my stuff back. And I know you want your stuff back, but guess what? We have to humble ourselves before God. We must stand on God's word. We must stand on God's promises, and we must take him at his word. Now, I'm going to go back to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, in the 2nd verse. And God, I thank you for this message. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of God, of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. That he might be glorified. So, what is the spirit of heaviness? When you try to lift something that is heavy, you can hurt your back, you can hurt your legs. If it's too heavy, it weighs you down. So when something is heavy, it's a great weight. So when we talk about spirit of heaviness, God is aware that people that mourn, they are bound, they're tied up by the spirit of heaviness. So we're going to hang out in verse 3 for a moment, because all of the ingredients that we need to break the spirit of heaviness is found right in verse 3. So this message that is entitled Double for My Trouble, I Want It All Back, there are some things that we must do, and part of that is relinquishing everything that's been weighing us down. Everything that has been hurting us, everything that stole our joy, everything that stole our peace, whatever broke your heart, whatever placed you in bondage and made you captive, whatever placed you in prison. And let's go back to verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So are you bound today? Are you brokenhearted? Are you held captive today? Are you in prison today? This is your message in verse 2. Proclaim, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. So God said to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes. So I'm going to decree this scripture over your life. And I'm going to, let me turn to Matthew's, the 18th chapter for a moment. And for those of you that are going along with me, thank you so much. I want you to go to Matthew, the 18th chapter, and we're going to start at the 18th verse. Now, this is a scripture that talks about spiritual authority in the church, but it also talks about spiritual authority, the authority that God has given us to bind and to loose. When we, let me give you a good example, and I use this a lot when I'm teaching, but think about that cowboy that has that lasso in his hand, and he's winding it up in the air, he's spinning it around, he's very good with what he does, and that baby cow, that calf, is over there, and he throws that lasso, he grabs the baby calf, and he goes over to it, he ties up all of his legs, and is laying there. Now it can no longer move. Well, that's a good example of what it means to bind. Bind is to tie up something, to prevent it from moving. And in this scripture, we're going to read what God says about binding and loosen. When we bind something, we want to tie or fasten something tightly together. But in this case, we want to render Satan and his demons and all of the things that he has done to place us in prison, to bind people up. We want to render it powerless. So in Matthew's 18:18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Now, I'm going to read that in the Amplified Version because I love how it breaks it down, and I pray that something said today is really opening your eyes and allowing you to see the power that's in God's word. I pray that something being said today is helping you. You are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. This is Stacy Lunsford, and we greet you in the middle of this message from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And our foundational scripture is found in Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in the first verse, which says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." So everything that we do here is to bring glory and honor to God. So without further ado, we're going to go back into the Word at Matthew 18:18, and this time we're going to read in the Amplified Version. And it says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, listen. Whatever you forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth, shall have already been loosed in heaven. Now let's go to verse 19, because a lot of times people just say verse 18, but to really understand what this scripture is saying, I want to encourage you to read Matthew 18 and begin at verse 15 to 19, because it's a great scripture to teach us about prayer. So verse 19 says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind, in harmony, about anything that they ask within the will of God, within the will of God. Let me read that again. It says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth, that is, are of one mind in harmony, that means they're not divided, they are together, and they are of one mind and in harmony, if we ask anything within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. And verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. And Holy Ghost is releasing revelation right now. Sometimes we are gathered together in the house of God, and we are sending up prayers, but the prayers are not reaching God's throne room. And the answer is right here in God's word. It says, meeting together as my followers. So in the house of God, everybody is not following God. We got false shepherds, and guess what? We got false members. Everybody that's in the house of God is not for God. And we have many people that are imposters, that are counterfeits, that are wolves in sheep clothing, that are stealing from God's people, that are misleading God's people, that are seducing God's people, that are causing God's people to mourn. But I have good news for you today. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now I'm going to read verse 20 again. I love God's word. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. So this scripture is talking about prayers. So if we're going to bind something, we need to loose something. So let's go back to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, because in verse 3, God is telling us what we need to bind and what we need to loose. Now, beginning at verse 3, Isaiah 61, verse 3, Isaiah 61, verse 3. For those of you may be listening for the first time, we believe in giving out scriptures because it is the word of God that contains the power. Life is in the word. I may say something and it may sound good, it may be a confirmation to you, but you take what I say and you hold it up to the word of God. You go to God and you say, God, Stacy said such and such. And if what I say is not lined up with the word of God, then you come to me and you come to me in love and you show me what I did or what I said wrong. And guess what? I'm going to humble myself and make it right, because we all fall short of the glory of God, but I assure you, I try my best to rightly divide the word of truth, and I don't want you to just take my word for it. That's why I provide scriptures, so that you can read and study and understand for yourself. Now, 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse, is a verse that I want you to look. For it says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Doesn't want us to be ignorant of his word. And I understand sometimes when we read the word, we may not understand everything. And it's okay. Ask God to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit to counsel you, to teach you, to train you. Go to your pastor and ask your pastor questions. Go to your Sunday school teacher. Send me an inbox. Send me an email, eloquentlyspeaking@gmail.com. Whatever it is that you need help with the word of God, help is available. Now, let's look at God's promises in Isaiah, the 61st chapter and the 3rd verse. It says, "Up to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." So standing on Matthew 18:18, I'm going to say a prayer based on Isaiah, the 61st chapter and the 3rd verse. So I'm going to bind the spirit of mourning, and I'm going to loose the oil of joy. And I'm going to bind and render powerless the spirit of heaviness, and I'm going to loose the garment of praise. Now for ashes, I bind that the ashes, that ashes is part of that mourning and that sadness and that heaviness. And I'm going to bind that, and I'm going to loose the beauty for ashes. I'm sorry, it says to give unto them beauty for ashes. So we're going to bind the ashes, and we're going to loose beauty. And we're going to thank God for beautifying us. We're going to thank God for making us smile again. We're going to thank God for his word that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And so when morning comes, not no longer M-O-U-R-N-I-G, but now it's a new day, it's a new season. And in Isaiah, the 61st chapter in the 2nd verse, this is a new year. We have entered into 2019, but it says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on this scripture for the rest of 2019 and for the rest of my life until the day of Jesus Christ. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year of favor. This is the year of divine vengeance. This is the year that God is going to comfort all that mourn. This is the year that God is going to open up the prison doors to those that are bound. This is the year that God is going to set the captives free. This is the year that God is going to bind the brokenhearted. This is the year that many of God's chosen vessels are going to rise up and preach and teach his word, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit, because the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the spirit of the Lord God will be upon them, and they will not preach what God doesn't tell them to preach. They will not teach what God doesn't tell them to teach, and they will not pray what God does not tell them to pray. So why are we going to stand on God's word? Well, we're going to stand on God's word because there's life in the word of God. God's word is truth. Now, verse 4 says, "And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." So now you're no longer mourning. You're no longer operating in the spirit of heaviness. You're no longer walking in ashes. You receive beauty. So you are a tree of righteousness. That's what it says. Planted by God. Not planted by your pastor, not planted by the deep evangelist. It says the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, why did all of this take place? Verse 4 tells us, "And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord, men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." And so the foundational scripture for this message, and although I've been at the top with Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3 a lot for the most of this message. The foundational message, I mean scripture, is found in verse 7. It says, for your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this message today. And there's one more scripture that I want to share, and it's found in Psalms, the 30th chapter, 5 and 6. And this is the King James Version. It says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. And remember, this is the year of God's favor. And it says, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. So this is part one, double for my trouble. I want it all back. And you are listening to the heartbeat of God. This is Stacy Lunsford, and I'm going to say a very short prayer. Thank you so much for staying with me today, and we will continue to bring forth the word of God. And I pray that some of you will be able to join me as we stand in the gap for pastors and as we gather for the midnight cry, which is the time to cry out to God in intercessory prayer for our countries, for the nations, for the body of Christ, and for peace. God's peace that passeth all understanding. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for loosing a fresh anointing upon this message, God. Thank you for going before those that have listened to this message today and those that have yet to listen to this message. I thank you for releasing the anointing of understanding. God, I thank you for releasing wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I pray that you will use this message for your glory. I thank you for all of those that are mourning, and I thank you, God, that they are blessed. Because your word says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So I thank you for loosing the spirit of comfort for those that will listen and take heed and allow this word to fall on good soil and get rooted and grounded in their heart. I cancel every assignment of the enemy against your people, and I give you the honor, I give you the glory, and I give you the praise. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Thank you for moving by your spirit and being glorified. In Jesus' name, I submit this prayer with an attitude of gratitude as I say, amen. God bless you. Go in peace. And I look forward to seeing you at our next Hour of Power for Bible study and prayer. And I ask that you would lift up truck drivers all over this world, lift up our children and young adults, and lift up pastors today. Pray for your pastor. Pray for somebody else's pastor. Pray that God's will be done in their lives and cover them with the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I set up perimeters that the enemy cannot cross. And I decree that pastors, God ordained pastors, those that he has called, that they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go.